have pulled House Bill 3502 off the schedule for today. 3502 is off the schedule for today. And we will open a public hearing on Senate Bill 430, and our committee administrator will tell us what that bill is all about. Carolyn?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. Senate Bill 430 would allow members of the Employment Relations Board to engage in certain outside activities. It requires that the members be on leave status for some for those specific activities. And it has an emergency clause effective August 1st.
All right, thank you. I have on my sign-up sheet here to testify David Steitler. I hope I've pronounced that correctly. And Rita Thomas. Who is who here?
I'm Mr. Steitler.
All right, very good. Okay, Mr. Steitler, I'll have you go ahead and begin testimony on this, and if you'd identify yourself for the record, please.
Chair Wilson, members of the committee, my name is David Steitler. I'm the chair of the Employment Relations Board. I'm here today with my colleagues, Board Member Rita Thomas and Board Member Catherine Whalen, and we're here to ask your support for Senate Bill 430. By way of background, for those of you not familiar with our agency, we are a quasi-judicial board, the purpose of which is to resolve labor and employment relations disputes. It's a three-member board. The members are appointed by the governor and must be confirmed by the Senate. It is a full-time board, but it is not a seven-day-a-week, 24-hour-a-day operation, and that brings us to the terms of Senate Bill 430. This bill would ease but not entirely eliminate an anachronistic statutory restriction on the types of activities board members can engage in on their time. I say anachronistic because this provision was placed in the statute in 1977. At the time, the board was being converted from a part-time agency to a full-time board. And I think there were some questions in the legislature about the need for that change. And as a kind of insurance, this provision was added to the law to make sure that board members would, in fact, not be trying to hold down a full-time position someplace else at the time they were appointed to the board. And the board, the bill would ease the restriction, which is fairly absolute at the current time, by allowing board members to engage in a limited number of outside activities, such as dispute resolution, like arbitration, mediation, or fact-finding, such as teaching or writing. And it contains safeguards that would prohibit conflicts of interest and also would ensure that if the board members choose to engage in such activities, that it would not interfere with their primary responsibilities as board members. The bill has no fiscal impact, and as far as we are aware, there is nobody in the labor management community to provide services that is opposed to the bill. I'd be happy to answer any questions from members of the committee, but I believe that the other board members may have comments as well.
Thank you. Representative Bowman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Why the emergency clause?
Chair Wilson, Representative Bowman, we didn't actually ask for an emergency clause. We had, during the hearing in front of the House committee, the bill that would have made all legislation passed by this legislature not effective until the following January, we did talk to the committee about an August 1st effective date, and it went to legislative council and came out with an emergency clause. So,
thank you. Could you give me an example of a type of dispute, or maybe a couple of the types of disputes that you involve yourself in at this point?
The three of us sit actually as a kind of an administrative court. So, for example, we're hearing tomorrow a practice dispute that involves a union representing police employees in the city of Lincoln City. And it's a dispute about whether or not the city lawfully refused to provide information that the union requested to perform its duties as the representative of those employees. As an agency, we also provide other services. We have a staff of mediators who provide mediation services to employers and labor organizations to help them try and resolve their collective bargaining disputes. And we also conduct representation elections to resolve questions of representation. So if there are disputes, for example, about which positions should be represented by a union or not, mm-hmm. we resolve those disputes as well.
Right. Thank you. Any further questions? All right. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Rita Thomas. I don't have a lot to add, although I will tell you that this this bill started in the 1997 session when I was asked by Senator Durfler to throw my name in to become a board member. I read the law and realized that I would not be able to continue to teach as I have for many years. I've taught labor law maybe 5 or 10 days a year. They attempted to change the law in 97, and they couldn't. It was in a bigger bill. It was at the end of the session, and it died. So I do want to mention, I passed around a letter that I had written to Senator Tro, who graciously carried this for us on the Senate floor. And on the second page at the top of that letter is a paragraph which I think sums up what this bill really does. When we became board members in the last 2 or 3 years, the Senate was asking that a 17-year member board be retired. And our predecessors had all been in position for at least 17 years. What I see coming to this board is that it's difficult to recruit people out of the private sector into this type of position if you tend to isolate them, which the current law does. We basically can't do anything outside of board work, and the things like arbitrating or teaching professional classes, even such things as I've written poetry and I can no longer publish if someone wants to send me $50. I mean, those things are restricted by the law. And so I think that people are not going to want to come out of high-level private sector jobs into these appointments and then leave. They get stuck as bureaucrats in the position. So, I'm asking, partly this is self-interest, but I think for future board appointments that we make it make more sense for people who are looking at these jobs. We did ask for the emergency clause, although we didn't characterize it as that, but Senator Mannix, as you know, has introduced a bill, 2274, which did pass, and out of concern for that, I asked for an August 1 date because I've been waiting about 18 months now to continue to teach, and when I saw his bill, I really didn't want to wait till January to teach. Then I saw a few weeks ago that Senate Bill 1315 had passed, which is an emergency clause in 2274, and so that bill will go into effect immediately. So we are asking that this bill be implemented on August 1st, and that was supported by the Senate. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Questions? I would think the people who are against this are afraid of a potential conflict of interest.
Chair Wilson, there is no one against it. In the Senate, we did have a couple of unions come and just find out what the bill was about, and everyone is supportive of it. No one in the community that we know of thinks there's any conflict of interest or even a potential conflict of interest with the language the way it's written.
Right. Thank you.
Chair Wilson, I really have nothing more to say except that I support the bill as well. I'm Member Whalen. I'm the third member of the board.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Any questions?
Question.
Representative Bowman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Does this, you said that the board is a full-time job, so it's like a 40-hour plus kind of position normally?
Chair Wilson, Representative Bowman, that's correct. I mean, you know, we work the amount of time that's necessary, and typically that can be accomplished in 40 hours, but sometimes not.
Right. If I could follow up, Mr. Chair. And so the desire to do additional employment outside of that would be under contract would you get a part-time job, say, with a university, or how would that process work?
Chair Wilson, Representative Bowman, from my perspective, the part of this bill that might interest me, I guess there'd be two opportunities that could interest me. One would be the opportunity to serve on occasion as an arbitrator of labor disputes in other states.
Mm-hmm.
I came to Oregon from another state, and I have been on occasion contacted by people that I know from my former life in that other state asking me to serve as an arbitrator, and I can't do that now.
Mm-hmm.
The other opportunity is that I sometimes get offered the opportunity to teach a 1 or 2 day seminar,
mm-hmm.
For which I'd be more than happy to give up a couple of days of vacation to do, but that the way the law is written now, I can't do that either.
Okay. Thank you.
Representative Beckman.
Answers.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. All right, we have no one else signed up to testify. Is there anyone else here who would like to say a few words? All right, thank you.
Can I go to work session?
We'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 430.
I have to go on work session.
And we'll open a work session on Senate Bill 430. Representative Bowman.
I move Senate Bill 430 to the floor for due pass recommendation.
Representative Bowman moves Senate Bill 430 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Representative Starr.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm sorry I wasn't able to sit in on the testimony. The question I had is, I noticed that the bill had 7 no votes in the Senate. Mm-hmm. Is there any reason given why we had opposition to this bill?
No, I have not heard. Heard from no one who has come to me to work this bill. Any of the 7. All right, we do have...
Thanks, me and Frankie.
We do have a motion. Any further discussion? Ms. Clerk?
Atkinson?
Aye.
Beck?
Aye.
Bowman?
Aye.
Jeffers?
Yes.
Harper?
Aye.
Starr?
Aye.
Sinceri?
Aye.
Thompson? Wilson?
Aye. And the motion carries. And Representative Bowman, would you carry that for us, please?
Yes.
Thank you. Close the work session on Senate Bill 430. And we'll now open a public hearing on Senate Bill 270. And Kara, if you would tell us what that bill pertains to.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. This has nothing to do with House Bill 3502. I'm sorry, I'm not talking in the phone. I ran up here. This removes some obsolete statute relating to dividend payments from SAFE to the Department of Administrative Services. And I believe DAS is here to explain why it's obsolete.
Thank you. Dan Hart. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, members of the General Government House Committee, I'm Dan Hartman. I'm the state's chief risk officer and administrator of the Risk Management Division with the Department of Administrative Services. We administer a state insurance fund. We're kind of like your internal insurance company. We insure all state agencies, commissions, and boards, including you all, for loss to property, like this fine building we're in, tort liability exposures where we could harm third parties, and for injuries to our workers called workers' compensation. Our jobs really are twofold, and that is helping managers avoid losses while accomplishing their mission, and two, when losses do occur, financing the costs in the most efficient way. We're heavily self-insured in the state, as many large corporations are too. This bill, Senate Bill 270, is our bill to remove an obsolete provision in the Work Comp Act, paragraphs 4 and 5 in that section titled Distribution of Dividends from Surplus in the Industrial Accident Fund. In 1985, We passed a comprehensive risk management bill that created our division and created the insurance fund and was made to direct and for us to direct and manage all risk management and insurance programs in state government. At that time is when we should have brought this bill. Honestly, we didn't know about this law at that time. But that new law created the insurance fund from which all monies that arise from our operations are credited to that fund. And those monies can include risk charges. We don't call them premiums because we're really not an insurance company. We call them risk charges. And we charge primarily based on how agencies have used us, their loss experience. We also have interest earned, and we do receive dividends from insurance companies. Prior to that time, each agency purchased an insurance policy from SAFE Corporation. And when we took over, shortly thereafter, we initiated an aggressive safety program in Work Comp. We set up one master insurance policy with SAFE and implemented an internal method to charge agencies, kind of like what we're doing now for tort liability and property. We did start receiving dividends from SAFE in 1991, and those monies are deposited into the insurance fund, and we use those to offset future charges for workers' compensation to agencies. So this is just kind of a bill to correct laws as they currently are, and we ask your passage on your bill. glad to take any questions. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Any questions? All right. Thanks very much. Anyone else to testify on Senate Bill 270? All right. Seeing none, we'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 270.
Mr. Chair? Yes. I'd like to move Senate Bill
270. Let me, a work session on 270. Representative Atkinson.
Mr. Chair, I would like to move Senate Bill 270 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you, Representative Atkinson. Move Senate Bill 270 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion?
Mr. Chair?
Representative Deckard.
This is a good bill. I was just thinking to myself, maybe we'd want to get a yearly update or have them send us something once a year when they send us their dividend policy, include how this is maturing and occurring. And just, I don't know, maybe in the future we might want to include that provision.
Thank you, Representative Deckard.
I'm sure they would send you one.
Is there any further discussion? All right, seeing none, clerk, please call the roll.
Atkinson?
Aye.
Deck?
Aye.
Goldman?
Yes.
Deckard?
Yes.
Harper?
Aye.
Star? Sunseri?
Yes.
Thompson? Wilson?
Aye. And the motion carries, and Representative Deckard, since you do like this bill.
Carry that for us, please.
I'd be glad to.
Thank you very much. All right, we'll close the work session on Senate Bill 270. We'll now open a public hearing on Senate Bill 522, and Kara will explain that to us.
Thank you, Chair and members. Senate Bill 522, I'm going to have to run and get the person who is going to explain this bill to you. Now, it establishes an alternative procedure for the annexation of a parcel of land to a special district when requested by the owner of a parcel. Senator George is the sponsor of the bill. He couldn't be here. He asked Art Schlock to explain it, and he's in hearing room B,
mm-hmm.
as is Burton Wiest.
Burton Wiest is not here either.
So if you like,
shall we stand on for just a moment while you go fetch them?
I can do that.
Why don't we do that? We'll
don't make any
assess for just a moment here.